FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that corner stop? Ratchet, can you take the corner stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, episode number... pre-record. Again, don't know what the episode number will be. This will air at some random time on a random date. Probably you already know why I'm pre-recording, so I'm not going to go into that big long gist again, but here we are, and with another episode of TFYLP, and I just noticed that the video was totally off-center on the intro, but who cares? It's up there. You know what it looks like. You know what it looks like. It still looks awesome. I love it. But with me this evening is Jack Bruner. Yay, finally back. Got his Skype working.
For once.
For once.
And the only time it's going to work is on a pre-record.
We'll try to go live and it'll be like, it'll be like last time. We was in it for 5 minutes and then.
Yeah, 5 minutes and.
Yep. Also with me is Christian Russell.
Hello.
And Sergio.
Good evening.
In the dark. Good evening. And welcome to our show.
Like the Predator.
Speaking softly, Alex.
Well, I'm trying not to talk too loud because we're recording very late, and just on the other side of this wall is a sleeping child, so I don't want to wake her too much.
I got people above me right
now. Tehran keeps children in his home against their will.
Yes. It has something to do with the ice cream truck parked outside.
that's for.
Not kidnapping van.
It says Captured Prey on the side. I always joke with Orson whenever we was at cons and we was in the Captured Prey van. Everybody always referred to it as the pedo van. Because it's advertising. It's a van. It's advertising toys. Yeah.
Yep. Free toys. Come and get some.
He does give away free toys.
Oh, no. When he feels like it.
Come and bring your toys.
Oh, no.
Bring your muscly arms right over
now
here.
Now we need to move on before this gets too weird.
Mr. Herbert.
And what's sad is I think he can do a better impersonation of Herbert than me. So.
He does a good
I do
one.
Not want to hear it.
I heard it. It's pretty good.
He does a really good Hank Hill, too.
But he does.
Yeah. Propane and propane accessories.
I'll tell you what.
Butane is a bastard gas.
Lord. But... we are here
fun
to talk
on this show.
We are here to talk about Transformers. As always, if you love what we do here on TFYLP, you can go up here at the top of the screen, kind of pointing up here, patreon.com/TFYLP. If you want to help us out each and every month, helps us get better equipment, helps pay for the high speed internet that we need to broadcast in good, sharp, high definition. And all kinds of jazzy stuff like that. But it helps us keep going and helps us serve you, the fans and the listeners of TFYLP. And we appreciate each and every one of you right now. And you know, for a limited time while supplies last, if you are a Patreon, regardless of whatever level, if you want one, Christian Russell will send you a free Crank and Stack coin.
I will. I have so many of them. Please take them away from me.
Pay for shipping. I think I said that I wanted like 10 of them.
You know what? You can have 10. You want 10?
Oh, I can I see one quick? Month, so. Just flash what? One quick. I want to see it.
Oh, okay. I'll be right back.
Flash a quick.
Oh, if they're across the room, you don't have to.
Flash one real quick. Okay. Flash a quick. Here's my boob. My boob. So, Sergio, have you picked up any great toys lately?
I mean, nothing's coming out. The last thing I got was MPM Barricade.
Wow. Oh, there we go.
Pretty.
And you said you have how much of these?
They are
23 of these.
They are rather nice, I have to admit.
They are nice. I just don't need 23 of them. 22 of them are up for grabs.
No.
Jack, would you like one too? All right.
So,
even though you don't have crank or stacks.
No, I don't. I don't have either.
Neither do I.
I had them both.
I like free stuff.
I don't think anybody wants to have them.
I had them both. They were okay.
I mean, it's X transbots. What are you gonna? I mean, I pretty much got my Megatron for free. But
incidentally, I saw. You know, I've already paid for mine, but I saw where X transbots had issued a statement saying that they had a pricing error on Crackup. He's not supposed to be like $35. He's supposed to be like $65. So yeah,
right.
Yeah, wow. My opinion is what they saw what everybody else was selling for and just brought it up. So, but
yeah, we'll see if that's gonna. Wait,
so what if I pre-ordered it for $30 price? Are they gonna raise it?
I've already pre-ordered it and paid for it, so I don't. It's I think it's up to the individual retailer.
I'm gonna be yes right now. Check my pre-order. I only pre-ordered it because it was $30.
Yeah,
that's what I did.
Masterpiece style, and yeah, I mean it looks to me personally, I like it better than the DX9 one. The DX9
one scale better.
Yeah, the DX9 one has better, or the X Transbots has better scale. I like the color better.
So this is what figure again?
Mine at $39.99.
Crack up the breakdown.
Stunagon breakdown.
Yeah, they still have them at $39.99.
Yeah. Well, I think it was...
TF Source got them, too, for $40.
It was an overseas store that actually broke the news. I believe I saw it on one of the third-party Facebook forums that shared it. You know, so it's probably like gas prices. One does it, and the others will follow suit. Or it might be so late in the game because literally those pre-orders have been up for so long. I know I pre-ordered.
At least since fall.
Yeah, I know I paid for mine. I'm wanting to say like November, maybe October or November, maybe.
I placed my order October 22nd.
Yeah, so as soon as they went up, I'm pretty sure that's whenever I got mine in. So,
I guess we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
By the time this airs, maybe you guys will have found out.
Well, it should be getting pretty close to release, so because we're starting to finally, after long months of silence, we're starting to see actual test shots and stuff in hand and review samples going out, and so you know, maybe like you said, by the time this airs, it will actually have been released, and it'll be a kind of a moot point. But right now, we don't know. I don't know. And I don't think even Orson knows yet. I guess he'll probably change it if need be. But if I'm not mistaken, I think all of his pre-orders are sold out. And if they jack the price up on him, he may have no recourse but to raise the price or something other, because it would take like all the money from the pre-orders. If they're charging double, it basically he would be breaking even on it, you know, if that, or losing money, and no retailer wants to do that. So, so I don't know. It's a big question.
It's strange.
Yes. But, you know, if you'd like to save money on great T-shirts from Ripped Apparel or posters or whatever you find on the Ripped Apparel website, as long as there's not a preempting great deal going on, you can input the code TFYLPPOD, all capital letters, and you will save 10% on your orders at RippedApparel.com. That's a really good deal. I've actually taken advantage of it a couple times, and I know several other people have. So
I have yet to get a shirt through them.
Well, shame on you. There's some really good stuff there.
I'm pretty much the only thing that's related to Ripped Apparel that I have is the lanyard and the cup holder, can koozie I got from Sergio when I got my alternators Optimus.
That was when I was still working there. Yep. I packed it in the warehouse, and we literally had 5 boxes full of that stuff.
Yeah, because I was opening the box, and all of a sudden those two pop out. I'm like, oh, I wasn't even expecting this. Nice.
I have sad that I missed the Galvatron Iron Maiden T-shirt.
I think that's exclusive. You might bring it back.
Yeah, if Paul showed it whenever he was on the show several weeks ago, and I totally missed that, you know, because I'll be honest, I don't check the website every single day, and that happened to be on one of the days that I didn't check, and...
Snoozing.
Yeah, I'm snoozing. snoozed, I lose. But, but you know, hopefully it'll come back around, and we'll see. But tonight's episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about stuff, and your chattering is back, Jack.
Oh,
I don't know what you did. There away. It went away. Now his mic's unplugged. Yeah, if you hear chattering or sounds like the predator sneaking up on you, yeah, it's back. It's Jack's computer.
It's probably the mic.
No, I even unplugged it and it wasn't that.
It was gone for so long, I don't know.
I know.
You must have bumped something.
Pissed off the wrong person.
It's probably a CPU fan or a cooling fan. Might have a bad ball joint in it or something. But anyway, while he's working on that, tonight's episode, as you can see, we have the three youngest members of TFYLP's cast on the show.
Whippersnappers.
And yes, you young whippersnappers here. What's bad is that most of you, I could be your dad. That's scary. I think Christian's probably you're how old?
Yeah, probably not me.
You're how old?
He's a little too old.
I'm 26.
You're 26. Yeah, I would have been a mid teenager. I could have been a mid teenager. Yeah.
In theory, yeah. Okay.
But definitely Sergio and Jack. Yeah, I mean, it's like
don't give me that picture. I don't want that in my head.
Because it's like less than a week, I'll be 43 years old. So, but hey, at least I have Don that's older than me. So,
yeah. The only plus side,
Don will outlast all of us.
Yeah,
with the Supreme Clash Cheetors.
Yes, the apocalypse will happen. It'll be Don on a throne of Supreme Clash Cheetors.
He'll be
okay,
going
that picture.
He'll be going no. It's still back, Jack.
Huh. Interesting.
Do you have any foam or something other to maybe set it on? Something foamy?
A pillow?
Like a pillow, yes.
A pillow would be great.
Yes. If your bed is nearby.
Or a shirt.
Mm-hmm. Not the one you're wearing. No, yeah, that's it.
Or the one you're wearing.
Use your pants. But anyway.
Take it off.
And Sergio is looking intently.
For our audio only listeners, Jack is fully nude right now.
Oh God. It's like dangling.
Hung like a light switch.
Yeah. He has a dangling participle there. But But anyway, we're going to be talking about the fandom, coming into the fandom as, you know, I've been a part of the Transformers fandom. I came on board whenever the Generation 1 cartoon aired as a three-part special, the More Than Meets the Eye special, and then it became a full-blown cartoon, and you know, I've been here since the very, very beginning. But these three castmates on here, they came along much later. And we're going to be talking a little bit about what it's like to come into the Transformers fandom, what attracted them to the Transformers fandom, and what it's like generally to come into the fandom from late in the game, as it were. Somewhat. Now, I mean, granted, it's now much later for you guys too, but it was late in the game, as it were, for people like me, Don, you know, us G-winners. So
the old farts.
Yes. So I'm going to start with the oldest and work to the youngest because, you know, Jack, he's probably going to have the newest memories, I guess, as it were.
Pretty much.
Some of us, you know, were well into our adulthoods whenever he started collecting and got into it. Oh, oops. Somebody's getting a phone call.
Telephone.
Sorry. I forgot to mute it.
Girlfriend sending nude pictures.
I wish.
It's actually Jack. Surprise.
Not again. So,
I need to get my number.
So basically, if Jack sends him a picture, a selfie, it's a dick pic, you know.
Every time. Don't give Jack your number.
Yeah.
Yes. Every single time.
Without fail.
So Christian, when did you come into Transformers? What era did you come into Transformers? And what actually attracted you to this great hobby of ours?
Last week.
Yeah, last week. Surprise.
It's like, what attracted it to me? Your mom.
Yeah, Sergio's mom. She and I have a history. Anyway.
I could actually say that, and it could be true.
I mean, maybe. I like older women. What? Hey. That Cougars. Question has several answers. My first Transformers toy was a G2 space case I got at Big Lots probably in like 1994.
Oh, wow.
And then I started watching Beast Wars, not knowing that it was really Transformers. Mm-hmm. That's 96, 97.
So you got your first Transformer the year after I graduated high school.
Yeah.
That puts it in perspective. I was a freshman in college the year you got your first Transformer.
Yeah, so remember, we talked about this in the pre-show. The yes. alternate title for this episode is How to Make Duron Feel Old.
Yes. See, I have gray hairs in my beard right now.
Here comes a new one.
Yeah. Several, actually.
All right, the rest of the story is that I really liked robots in general, and my parents used to take me and then later me and my little sister up to Blockbuster every weekend so we could have a pizza movie night together. And we get, you know, a movie that we could watch together, but they'd also let me get, you know, something from the kids section. And anything that had robots on it, I was going for it. And the first ones I picked up were the, was it Rhino or FHE VHS tapes from Blockbuster.
Probably the FHE, yeah. Family Home Entertainment, yeah.
Yep. And they had a couple G1 episodes on it. I remember watching SOS Dinobots a lot. You know, we'd rent it over and over again. And then
the very first time that those came out on Betamax, if that gives you an idea how long ago this was.
I don't even know what that is.
Betamax came out before VHS.
Yeah.
It was like right before VHS.
Yeah. It was actually a better format because of the way... the quality of the picture, but it's actually a more, it's kind of like, look at it as Blu-ray versus the HD DVDs. HD DVDs were actually kind of a better format because I guess they could store more information or what have you, but it was a more expensive format. So it lost out because Sony, one, had money and could pour more money into it and make it cheaper. But Betamax is pretty much that. But anyway, SOS Dinobots and I think War of the Dinobots, I believe, were on the same yeah. tape. And I remember watching it so many times, I literally wore out the tape that my local video store had. I watched it so many times, the tape would not play a clear video anymore. I'd memorized every line of SOS Dinobots.
Basically, sounds like my story.
Yeah.
I would pick them up every week. Not the same ones every week. You know, you have to rotate through. But I picked up those pretty often. I also picked up the Gobatron saga from GoBots pretty regularly. And then once I was able to get online for the first time, so about 97, maybe 98, I was little, but my parents always had technology in the house. You start researching, you know, what these things actually are. I found out that Beast Wars was actually connected to Transformers, and that's really what solidified me as a Transformers fan more than a GoBots fan, just because, you know, there was new Transformers that I could watch every day after school at 4 o'clock. They'd be on. I loved it. So yeah. Beast Wars is my introduction.
And by that point, GoBots were officially part of the Hasbro banner. So
yep. Yeah,
I didn't know that until much later. Yeah. But I was a child, so give me a break.
Hmm.
Had a couple of Beast Wars toys. And then picked up a couple of, you know, through Beast Machines, Robots in Disguise. And then Armada here and there. I liked Minicons a lot. And I put my official date as really becoming a collector sometime in Energon, so 2004. That's when I was really like, you know what? I want to keep doing this for as long as I can think to do it. And I want to collect, like, a lot of toys.
Because it's fun.
Because it's fun. You know, when you're a kid, you kind of, or at least I did. My parents helped me buy my first group on eBay, and it was just like someone went off to college and left it behind a whole bunch of G1 toys. Mom packed them up in a box and sold them on eBay, and I got that box. It had jump starters in it. It had a Pretender Bumblebee shell. It had 3 out of 4 of the Sky Scorchers from G2.
Oh.
And, you know, when I had those, I was just like, you know what? I want to have more. I want to get every toy ever made. I realized later that's not really a practical goal to have. It's way too much. Yeah. But I remember opening that box at my grandparents' house, and it was just I fell in love immediately. So couple different answers, couple different stages.
Sweet.
But so, really full-time since 2004, and I never stopped.
All right. Well, we'll come back to you here in a minute, and we'll take up with some more. But Sergio, how did you come – what era did you come into the fandom, and what lured you to Transformers?
Oh, I'm going to answer that before him. Sergio's moment of truth in Transformers was watching Devastator appear for the first time in Revenge of the Fallen. He saw the wrecking balls and couldn't resist any longer. He tells me that story all the time. He says how tragic.
I still get nightmares from that scene
every day.
And then he enjoyed the moment where he was sucking up everything.
Yes, and then the humping dogs in the end. So that was always that he really liked that. Did I miss any part of it, Sergio?
I think you covered all my bases.
You covered all your mom's bases.
Let's see. My first toy was.
Well, what era first?
I don't know the answer to that because my first toy wasn't from the first cartoon I watched.
That's it's kind of like Christian. You know, he said he got G2 Space Case, but
yeah,
there really wasn't a show for that.
It was just G1 reruns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Sweet Jet Robot.
My first toy was R.I.D. Heavy Load. Is it? Was he the steam shovel? Or the
Grimlock.
That was Grimlock.
Bulldozer.
Oh, that's Wedge.
Wedge, yes.
Wedge. There we go. He was my first one. The first toy.
Oh, wow.
And then...
That's actually a decent one, too.
It was actually pretty cool. And it had, it had like diecast and stuff on it, too. Which is pretty cool. The
Yeah, wasn't the chest diecast?
No.
I think it
was. I don't think the Japanese one even had diecast.
I literally haven't touched it since.
It does not have diecast.
So that was my first toy. The first show I watched was Armada. And then my first introduction into G1 was the movie when they released it for, was it the 20th anniversary of Transformers?
20th, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was the same way.
It was when they released it. I had no idea what G1 was. I just liked Transformers, and I was like, well, I guess I'll buy it. And I had no idea who anybody was, except for, like, Optimus Prime and all of that.
Because he's maintained a similar look pretty much throughout the years.
Yeah. I mean, he's red and blue, so he wasn't hard to differentiate.
And he's got the moth plate.
And then I didn't get into collecting until I was like 13, when I got bored one day on my computer and I Googled Transformers. And then, like, I think the first site I stumbled upon was TFW. And then from then, I literally that same day I discovered the YouTube reviews. This was like, when was I 13? Like 2008, 2009? 2009, I think. Yeah, 2009. So this was like right before Revenge of the Fallen came out. And so I had no idea. This is like in December. So this was before all like the toy leaks had come out. And so I was still watching reviews of like the first movie toys. And then all the like speculation videos about what's going to happen in Revenge of the Fallen. And nobody saw the two Devastator balls coming. but like... Yeah, that was like my first exposure into the fandom. Like, I had no idea that it existed. Like, I had no idea that there was people that collected these things. Like, I knew that Transformers had been around my entire childhood. I just had no idea that it was
like, so big.
Yeah, like I knew the movies was like popular, the first movie, but I didn't know that, you know, there's websites and YouTube videos dedicated to it. Like, to me, I thought that was weird that like people watched other people play with toys.
Okay. I was the same way.
And I expected it to be kids. And I heard, like, the first guy I watched was P.O.S. So, like, I saw some, like, grown-ass man playing with toys on YouTube. And I was like, what is this? But I kept watching, and I'm like, this is pretty cool. And then I kept looking into it. And then I think...
And here you have grown-ass men sitting around talking about toys for 2 hours.
Yep.
Yeah. With, like, glass cases of toys now. Like... That's crazy how I went from, like, what is this, to, like, now I have thousands of dollars of toys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how quickly it can explode. Wait a minute. That sounds so bad.
I think that's what she said. Though. Like, with any hobby you get into, like, as soon as you get into, like, you want to, like, do everything. And now...
Yeah, if it really clicks with you, then you just launch headlong into it.
Now that I have been into it for so long, I've slowed down a lot, and like I really think about what I buy, and like, you know, like not everything that comes out interests me anymore. Whereas before, it's like I need to buy everything that comes out,
all the things.
And then now it's like, if I don't buy it, okay, I'll just get it down later.
Well, I mean that's something that we can touch on too. Is you know. First getting into the hobby and then how your habits change as you grow in the hobby. You know, we've talked about that from the G1 collector's point of view. You know, we have our ebbs and flows, but coming into the fandom at a much later time, it's a little bit different. So let's move over to Jack. Jack, what era did you come into Transformers and what allured you to the fandom?
Well, I came in, I want to say it was like late 2001, I think it was. Because I was about two or three, so it was like towards the end of the original R.I.D. And right before the Unicron trilogy started. Pretty much the main thing that drew me, I was at the bowling alley that my parents usually bowled at. I think it was like a Tuesday night, and a friend of mine came down and he brought this one figure, and I was just like, what is that? And he goes, yeah, this is a Transformer. I go, can you show me what it does? And he showed me from alt mode to robot mode. I'm like, dude, these things are sweet.
So, do you remember which one it was?
Honestly, no. I keep thinking it was Unicron, but it's not, because obviously it was before Armada and all that. But I forgot what it was, but all of a sudden, I go to the store with, pretty sure it was my mom, and like, well, let's go check out toys. Okay. And I saw Transformers. I'm like, can I get one? Sure. There you go. And boom. One big explosion flood, after.
The floodgates open.
Do you remember what Transformer that was that you bought?
Come on. Everybody remembers their first.
After. That reminds me of a certain scene in GTA 5. But anyways. After Hasbro acquired the GoBots, there was this one cheesy line. It was pretty much like the one-step changes today. It's like,
oh yeah,
just did one quick action, and it just automatically transforms. And it was like this little cop car type thing. I forgot what the name of it was. But
we go find out.
Yeah. I mean, it's been obviously 18, 19 years since then. So
I'm just like, changers?
It wasn't spy changers. It was...
No, I think it was the Play School GoBots.
Yes. Oh, okay. Because obviously I was like two and a half.
Well, so, yeah, I got to understand, whenever he first saw these, that would be because I have to admit, I have never in my collecting hobby, I know there's some people out there that does it and they don't mind it. They actually enjoy it, but they actually collect, some of the preschool ones like the Rescue Bots and everything. Those aren't even on my radar as a collector.
Yeah.
I've never bought a single one. I've picked them up and looked at them in the store and I'm like, eh, well, it's, I am glad that they exist simply because they help much younger kids get into the fandom. I know my nephew, his son is getting ready to turn 4, and he is huge into Rescue Bots. The end of this month, they're getting ready to throw him a birthday party, and it's a Transformers themed birthday party. You got to thank Rescue Bots for getting him into them. I really think that that's going to help him have a foundation of. What have I said now? That's innuendo.
Sergio's antagonizing me on Facebook Messenger.
Oh.
But my cousin's son actually has quite a collection of Rescue Bots, and my cousin messaged me. He's like, I know that you collect Transformers. Can you send me a photo? I want to show it to Camden, my cousin's son. And I was like, sure. So I sent him just the one of these bookcases, and she actually took a video of it showing him. He's just like, wow. Like the little aliens from Toy Story.
My sister, she called me the other day and was telling me that there are two Rescue Bots that his mom was looking for her grandson. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, I'll help you find them. How hard could it be? And I had no idea that there's some Rescue Bots out there that easily crack the $100 mark because they're so freaking rare.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. There was
seeing a couple on eBay and
there's one, I'm wanting to say it was called High Tide.
High Tide's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a giant boat.
Yeah. There's one that's like a playset. But there's another one that he actually turned into like a boat, and it's kind of like one of the full size Rescue Bots. He was meant to be an Amazon exclusive, but for whatever reason wasn't released, I guess, over here, and came out overseas in a limited release. And he is really hard to find, and everywhere I looked, even for a loose one, it was like $70-$80 bucks. But for a sealed one, it was like $100-$120. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Dang. Ridiculous. And whenever I came back to my sister, I'm like, I hate to tell you this. I had no idea some of these things are actually highly collectible. And, you know, and I guess now in the grand scheme of things, if I stop and think about it, probably a lot of people think the same thing about just the normal Transformers we collect. It's like, I have no idea they could be so worth so much.
Like, how could a kid's toy be worth so much money? Wait a minute.
And I guess it's one of those eye opening moments for me as a collector, that it was kind of an outside looking in moment for me. It's like, I don't collect rescue bots. They've never been on my radar. You know, I've been aware of them, but then I find out that they're worth so much. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And then another one that had a similar fate. It's called Salvage. And those things run around 50 or 60 bucks. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Absolutely crazy. But I can't really knock it. You know, I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, whenever I told her that's what the prices are, she's like, no way, I'm not paying that. These are meant for a four-year-old child. I'm not going to get those for a four-year-old child to sit and play with. You know, mm-hmm. I pay that kind of price. And at the same time, I can kind of see why parents, even my parents, whenever I was a kid, you know, balked at the price of some of the Transformers then. I remember vividly the day I got my Generation 1 Metroplex. You know, the story goes, my mom, dad, and I, we went into a Rose's department store. I don't know if any of you guys remember that store, but there's actually some still in existence here in Kentucky, but they were much more prevalent whenever I was younger. Think Kmart, but like on a much smaller scale. We went into a Rose's, and that was the very first time I saw Metroplex and Triptychon on the shelf. Generation 1 Metroplex and Triptychon. And for whatever reason, I picked up Metroplex first, I guess probably because I came to him first. And I'm standing there looking at him, and my dad was with me. Normally, my dad was absolutely against me getting toys.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason that day, he saw me absolutely enamored by this toy. And I remember him asking me, so you want that one? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And he's like, all right. You know, not knowing, he didn't even bother looking at the price. I'm thinking, you know, maybe he's going to be, generous today, you know. Hey. So we get up and meet my mom because she had went to a different area of the store. And we got up to the register, and she saw me carrying it. And she's like, you're letting him get that? Yeah. And I distinctly remember all this exchange because of the way he reacted afterwards. It goes through the checkout, rings up, and he sees the price. I'm wanting to say it was like 60, 70 bucks, which, you know, today we'd spring for a 60 or 70 buck Metroplex. But, you know, it was probably around that price. He flipped his lid. He goes, that's how much? That's how much? Because
back then, I think that's around 150 now?
He was making a scene. And my mom looked at him and said, look, you know, you told him yes, it would be unfair to take it away from him now. So went ahead and got through the line. We got out to the car, and he was fuming the entire way home. He was giving it to my mom. He was giving it to me, telling me no more. This is bull crap. Only, you know, he was livid. But in all honesty, it was his mistake. He was thinking it's a toy. How much could it be? And
yeah, because he didn't. If you're saying it was 60 back then, it's saying it would be about 140 right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's he just walked into it, I guess, and I remember it well because that was one time I rarely saw my dad flip out in public, but that time he did, and I felt so small that because of that and everything, but You know, I was actually, because I was able to hold it. I was sitting there holding it in the back seat, but they wouldn't let me open it till I got home. And I was, whenever I got home, I was afraid to open it because I thought he was going to take it back and everything. Because he kept threatening to do it, you know, because, you know, he, and I understand now as an adult, I look back and I'm like, hey, that was probably a good chunk of his paycheck that he spent on that one toy that, yeah, that one day. And I can understand there's times when, you know, money is tight. Especially, you know, my parents, my dad, he worked he had his own own business. You know, he was a self-employed man. You know, he did well, but not, not well enough. You know, we lived in Eastern Kentucky. My mom worked at a Ben Franklin. If you guys know what that is, it was at one time more of like a Dollar General, not so much a craft store. Mm-hmm. They still exist, but they're more of a craft store now. You know, so my mom and dad didn't make a whole lot of money, and I can kind of see now in retrospect. I don't blame him. I you know, I have no ill will toward my dad. I'm not trying to speak badly about him, but I distinctly remember that story simply that moment because whenever I got my G1 Metroplex, my dad flipped out. I didn't get a big Transformer again for quite a while after that. But I forgot how we even got on that story. But
we started with Go, because I had that Play School GoBot, then it kind of started back to, I forgot how that got started too.
Anyway.
Oh, you're talking about Rescue Bots and how
we
had no clue that they were super expensive. Therefore, your dad also didn't know that a kid's toy could be super expensive like that.
And now, I guess that moment whenever my sister made me look up that toy, it became a sudden realization that, hey, you know, I was kind of seeing it through my dad's eyes. I'm like, holy crap, I wouldn't spend that much on a toy for a four-year-old. You know, and at the time, I was maybe 11, maybe 12. So it was a little bit, the circumstance was a little bit different, but you know, hey, he's also the same man that right after I got out of the hospital, whenever I was 10 years old, my very first Christmas, you know, because they almost lost me to a rare heart disease when I was 10. Mm-hmm. And my very first Christmas after that, my mom and I, we had already moved to Florida. My dad stayed behind in Kentucky to sell the house and his business, to close the deal. And it was around Christmas time. And right before he came back to Florida to meet up with us, he went to Children's Play World in Lexington, Kentucky. And the story goes, he went in and grabbed a salesman or one of the stock guys and had him get me one of every Transformer that was on the shelf at that time that they had in stock. And I virtually got everything in 1985 that was on the shelf in early 86, save a few characters that they didn't have in stock, like Megatron and everything. I got like 20, I want to say 20 or 30 Transformers in one blow. That Christmas, he spent all kinds of stuff. You know, I want to say he spent probably close to $5,000 on me that year. I mean, some of that was clothes, of course. You know,
yeah,
kid doesn't get clothes. but you know, he at that time, I can also understand he wasn't looking at the prices. He was just happy to have his son still. You know, he went in and just said, "Hey, help me out here. Grab me. My son loves these things. Get me one of every one on the shelf." And that was the best Christmas I ever had. Never had one like that again. but
still, that's insane. Remember that forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I will. And it was awesome. But I also had to almost die to do it, to get that. and it was not a fun.
Detailed.
It was not a fun time for about 6 years after that. You know, it's, A lot of longtime TFYLP listeners will probably remember the story of my love of Transformers, how it got so deep. It has such a deep connection to me because I was a very sick little boy from the time I was 10 to the time I was 16. I was very sick. I couldn't run and play with the other kids. Basically, the only thing that kept me happy and gave me a happy childhood was coming home and watching Transformers every afternoon and playing with my Transformer toys. I was just so enthralled with those. And my very first Transformer I got while I was in the hospital bed, hooked up to IVs and nearly dead. It was a Constructicon Bone Crusher, and I still have it 100% complete. I will never, never part with that toy. Matter of fact, my friend, he was actually several years younger than me. He brought it to me when I was in the hospital. He came to see me. He lived next door back in eastern Kentucky to where I lived. And he brought it to me. And my mom, I don't remember it because I was, out of it, on drugs and everything, laying there in the bed, IVs all hooked up. He walked in the room and he saw me and he thought I was already dead. Handed his mom the present that, he was bringing me and ran out of the room crying and refused to come back in the room. So she came over and I guess he laid it on the bed or something and then he ran out. And yeah, that was Bone Crusher. And I told him that here about a year or so ago that I still have that toy. And he was blown away. But anyway, that's enough
that's
about
intense.
Me.
That's intense.
Yes. So that's why I have such a deep love of Transformers. It reminds me of a time whenever I had nothing to be happy about. And it gave me something to be happy about and something to look forward to and something to hold my interest. That was wholesome and I didn't get out and roughhouse with other kids and everything. I really couldn't because I was too sick.
Same. I know how that feels.
So, Jack, do you have any relatable story on that? Is that one of the things that endears you to Transformers is you have a similar connection?
Well, about the time I was 4, I was diagnosed with autism. And pretty much since then, Transformers has been my main security blanket because I didn't really like to play with the other kids. I just wanted to be off of the corner by myself playing with Transformers. I mean, pretty much wherever I go, I'd always have this one little suitcase, about 2.5-3 feet long, good foot wide, like a good 6-8 inches deep, and to just be jam-packed with Transformers. And like I said, no matter where I go, even if it was across town just to go to somebody's house for like a cookout, I'd still bring them just to have them if something happens. And that's pretty much been the main thing I do. I don't do it as much. I only say if it's just a small guy like Stinger here, I'd be content with that. But like the medical stuff that Duran had, I've went through too. I've had chest surgery down in St. Louis that I've gotten a few figures there. I think the most memorable one out of that was Revenge of the Fallen Stratosphere. That was like 2 or 3 years old at the time. And I think I found it on Amazon for, I think, $30. And my parents were like, well, that's going to be your present pretty much from us. So that was like a early Christmas / get well / Thanksgiving present. Cause I was in the hospital during the week of Thanksgiving for that. So that was pretty much the main one. I had my spine surgery a couple of years later in Minneapolis, and I was pretty much, because my brother and sister, as a get well gift, they got me a PS3. So I was at the hospital pretty much playing on that, and my parents were like, oh, we're going to go shopping around. If you want anything, just let us know. And pretty much the only thing I texted him, I'm like, just if you stop anywhere, no matter where you stop, let me know what they got for Transformers. So they're like, I think they stopped at a Toys R Us, and they're like, oh, you know, what do you want? I'm like, well, kind of looking for these. It was at that time the Thrilling 30 Generations had just come out, so it was like Orion Pax, the B2 Bomber Megatron, I think it was Trail Cutter, Hoist, and Bumblebee pretty much came out at that time. So they got though pretty much the entire first wave of that. It was like four or five figures. Then they got, I think the one Toys R Us still had a few Fall of Cybertron figures. So they got like a couple packs of the cassettes or the little disc things that still transform like pieces of crap. And they had a Transformers Prime Thundertron, which that thing I am never getting rid of because that thing is so freaking fun.
Do you give him the peg leg?
Yep.
Yeah.
Give him the peg leg. I did that too. His little foot that can come off. I actually I found a picture online to where you can make him kind of look like a parrot. So I got him just on his arm. So
seen that. That's awesome.
So that's pretty much the main things. I did have a knee surgery, and I decided, you know, kind of hobbling around on one knee with this big swollen bandage just stuck to my knee. I'm like,
did you try to get a job at IHOP?
Ha ha.
Oh, wow.
I mean, wow. I was still pretty sedated, so I couldn't work anyway. But I was like, I just want to see what they have. And they ended up, it was like May of 2015, so I'm pretty sure it was just like Combiner Wars and I think.
So this is really recent, actually.
The chest surgery was about 2011, so it was like I was just turned 13. My back surgery, I actually had 2 days after my birthday. Greatest birthday present ever. So I just turned 15 during that, and the knee surgery was about, I think, 2 years ago, two and a half. I forgot what it was, but yeah, so I was at the store hobbling around with one leg pretty much, peg leg. And my mom's like, whatever you want, I'm just going to get it for you, because obviously I couldn't go anywhere besides barely walking around a Walmart at 11 o'clock in the morning, an hour off surgery. So she goes, yeah, whatever you want, I'm going to get it for you, since you're going to be in bed pretty much all day. So I got like 50, 60 bucks in figures, and they're pretty much lost in the Combiner Wars jungle up there. But yeah, with all the medical stuff, Transformers has still pretty much been my security blanket to go to.
Your go-to, yeah.
Yeah, if I ever just feel like I don't want to do anything. Because pretty much through high school, I didn't really have all that much for friends, obviously, because I wasn't part of the popular crowd or the jock crowd.
Geeks tend not to be. I mean, I had friends, but not a whole lot of friends. And I was always one of those kids in high school that, you know, people would tend to stay away from, because I was into, you know, sci-fi and all kinds of stuff, you know. I was the weirdo.
I had to play some games with them occasionally. Not a whole lot. So pretty much it'd just be me chilling down whatever room I had at the time, because between, I think in a span of about 2 years, we moved twice, pretty much all over spots, all over town. So it's kind of been hectic moving, and obviously you can't have friends over when the first house is kind of not too great of a place to live in. The second one kind of have a strict set of rules because we were living with some other people at the time, and now this place is more settled down to where I can finally get people. But now that I'm out of high school, I really don't have much people to talk to. So that's pretty much been my main thing, is just Transformers and video games. And
but fortunately, through the fandom, you've met a number of people and met a lot of friends. Yes,
And obviously I have these things, these damn expensive bowling balls.
Yep.
And
You always got to play with your balls.
I do at least once or twice a week.
TMI.
I think that's where the younger collectors differ, because at least in my personal experience, I never really had people nowadays, especially with like all the comic book movies and stuff, like being a nerd is cool.
Yeah,
now.
Geek is chic. Yeah.
So I never really experienced people saying anything negative about it. Like most people I meet for the first time that I tell them they do it, they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Can I see it?
Yeah, you know? That's pretty much what I've gotten to.
And that's,
that sounds dirty too.
I mean, that mostly is because, I don't go out of my way to hey, guess what? I like to buy thousands of dollars of toys. That's more of a thing. It's like if somebody asks about it, then I'll tell them. But yeah. I've never really encountered anything negative about it.
See, that is a sign of the generation gap. You know, it's like 30 years ago, it was just not like that. At all.
The difference between me and you guys, Jack and Sergio, I got harassed and beat up on the playground for liking Transformers when I was at elementary school. That's only 5 or 6 years difference between us, but I felt like I had to hide until the movies came out.
I wonder if there's some kind of pinpoint that we could actually tangibly look at and say that was the turning point that made geek mainstream.
I don't know. When I talk to people my age now about it, they remember Beast Wars fondly, watching it all the time. So maybe it's just where I was, or I don't know. But
I think
I said I like Transformers and Beast Wars, and they hated that.
I think it's when the first Avengers movie came.
I'm thinking 2008, pretty much when the MCU started, and a few comic book movies.
I started noticing, though, much earlier than that, that people would actually look at you less judgingly, I guess, as it were. They would look at you less, critically so, because, like we said, being a nerd, being a geek, whatever it be, be it Transformers or whatever, is socially acceptable now,
mm-hmm.
or generally, you still got your older crowd that, like my parents, they accept it. I mean, they tolerate it, but they don't really get it. They don't really like it. They just tolerate the fact that I'm into it. My dad still, it boggles his mind that I spend money on children's toys and spend so much time, so much of my time dealing with this stuff. That's not even on, to him whenever he put toys away whenever he was really, really young. And to him, toys now is going out and working on a tractor or something. That's his toys.
I think my dad was a lot more understanding of it because he's a huge car guy. He lives and breathes cars. Mm-hmm. So he collected Hot Wheels, diecast, and all that stuff like that. And so he used to be really into that. So when I started doing Transformers, he saw it as a healthy hobby because that's what he did when he was buying.
I mean, you could be out buying drugs. Instead, you're buying plastic crack.
Honestly, I mean, my parents both grew up in rough neighborhoods, and so their childhoods, lots of the people that they grew up with ended up doing stuff like that. So that's why they saw this as a healthy hobby where I'm spending money on something that could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
Because, my dad was the same thing to where by the time I started collecting Transformers, he was pretty much already used to it because my sisters both were into Barbies heavily. I mean, we had this one giant freaking tote dedicated to nothing but Barbie clothes, the accessories, the dolls, all that. Then there was my brother who was a big Ninja Turtles fan, and so by the time I got started, my dad was like, yeah, go ahead. And obviously, he collects, too, because he may not seem like the collector type, but, he collects all kinds of fishing rods, fishing lures, all that good stuff, pretty much bowling balls, same as I do. So, yeah, he pretty much is like, well, yeah, go ahead.
I think you have to look at the generations, you know, decades of people. There was a point in time whenever the idea of collecting anything, because at its base form, collecting is spending money or getting something, you know, getting a collection of something that has no real function. You know, you don't need it. You buy it, you obtain it, whether you buy it or trade for it or it's given to you. You obtain these things only for the simple reason of you enjoy it and you just want it. Mm-hmm. Because you got to understand, and that's why I don't criticize my parents for not really understanding it, is because they grew up, you know, my dad was born at the tail end of the Great Depression. You know, whenever they had to fight and scrape for everything they had, they had to grow their own food. You didn't just go to the store and buy it. You know, toys really weren't a necessity. You know, even as a kid, you know, he growing up, he has more memories of going out and helping his dad till the field as a young child than he does playing with toys, playing games. You know, it's just a totally different time. I can't even fathom that, you know, that, but you know, as children get older, I think in the 50s, maybe the 60s, children, and not just children, but even adults, their mindset started changing. There was more, households started having more of a disposable income, as it were, where, you know, you could actually have money to left over after you're paying your bills and making sure everything's taken care of.
Yeah. I mean, if we're getting like historical here, yeah, like the economic boom after World War II and the rise of the middle class, mm-hmm. is why toys like G.I. Joe and Barbie blew up.
Yeah. And so, you know, my parents come from before that time. Mm-hmm. To you know, their mindset is totally different from that. I mean, my mom is a little more in touch with it because she was pretty much the one that raised all the children. My dad, he was there. He was the provider. He wasn't really hands on with my raising. About the only time my dad was hands on was whenever I really fucked up. You know, it's like if my dad was going to, if I had to go see my dad about something other, I knew I really fucked up. But which wasn't often, thank goodness. But being on the receiving end of a switch from my dad was not something I enjoyed. but their mindset is totally different from that. My mom saw the children, she raised the children, so she is a little bit more in tune with it. She gets it a little bit more than my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But then my siblings, of course, they were raised in that time. My dad, my brother, he grew up with the original G.I. Joe, and Action Man and all that. And he thinks it's cool. He really thinks it's cool, and he himself is currently into Hot Wheels. He's been into Hot Wheels for several years, so he gets it. But I think like you said, you know, the post World War II economic boom, the rise of the middle class, it gives the changing attitudes and the attitudes today where, you know. At one point, being a geek and collecting toys, whether it be Transformers, being into comic books or anything, at one point it was considered socially unacceptable to be into those things past a certain age. You know, you were expected to like those things as a kid and then grow out of them and start liking girls and, you know, tuning up your hot rod and tail chasing, you know, and then finding somebody, settling down and having a family and then going on and doing other things. Mm-hmm. But nowadays I guess the term kidult has come has arisen. And I think more people my age we're like the very first generation of kid alts that en masse, I guess. I know there's some prior to me. I know whenever I used to go to church, there was a gentleman that that attended the church that I was at. He was a good 20 to 30 years older than I am. And he had an enormous G.I. Joe collection. And I'm not talking about Real American Hero. I'm talking about the 12-inch, you know, with all the flocked hair and all that stuff. He had sealed examples of everything, you know. It was like an insane collection. He grew up in the the late 50s, early 60s. He got in on the ground floor of some of these toys. And he, as an adult, could have been classified as a kid-ult. But, you know, today, being a geek and being into stuff like this is totally acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So Christian, how did Transformers become a relatable thing to you? Was it more of the collecting aspect that endeared you to it, or you said earlier that you really love robots, and we all know that there's all kinds of robot franchises out there. You got Gundam, and you got your the Macross, the old Macross, and to an extent Power Rangers. What really set Transformers apart for you?
I think it was a combination of factors that couldn't have come together at any other time in my life. Like I said, I was watching Beast Wars every day. So the characterization of the characters on that show made me really like them. And in turn, I was young enough to want, you know, toys of that character. I've talked about this on the show before. I had a tactile deficiency when I was a kid, couldn't really manipulate things very well. And so the challenge of trying to get my on-screen characters that I loved in toy form to be able to actually transform into something, to make it work, I think that coming together with trying to conquer the tactile thing, watching the great show, having really supportive parents, and just growing up at that certain time, I think all of that came together to make sure that Transformers stayed with me forever. Side note, since you guys all talked about your dads, I want to mention mine really briefly. I know we're trying to wrap up, but my dad was awesome with Transformers. When I couldn't have any friends in real life, you know, at school that liked Transformers, my dad was my sounding board. He doesn't like Transformers so much, but he always let me talk about them, or comic books, or superheroes, anything. My dad was always there for me for that. And looking back, I mean, he took me to my first BotCon in 2005. We went back in 2006 and 08 and 10 and 12. I mean, to think about how much I spent just by myself to go to BotCon, for him to take that opportunity and take us both so we could spend time together doing that, it was really cool of him, and I really appreciate it.
That is really awesome. I would assume your dad's probably he was probably born in the late 50s, early 60s. My guess.
64.
So yeah, roughly he's in the he pretty much grew up in the age whenever toys were becoming popular to collect, I guess, as it were.
Yeah, he and my mom both grew up rough in different ways, so they didn't have that as kids, and that probably affected mine and my sister's ability to have stuff when we were kids. Which is to say, they didn't have it, they wanted us to be able to have it, and we did.
Well, see, to an extent, that impacted my family as well. I have three sisters and one brother, and my brother came second out of the five kids. And then I came 11 years after my closest sibling. So basically by the time I was like, by the time I got into Transformers, the landscape in the family had changed to the fact that my oldest or my youngest sister was getting ready to graduate high school. She had a boyfriend that she had been steady with for a long time. They happened to still be married to this day. But they married right out of high school. And so essentially, even though I'm the fifth of five children, I was raised in my formative years pretty much as an only child because all my siblings had already moved on into adulthood and was living their lives separately.
My dad was also fifth of five. Fun
yeah.
fact.
So yeah. So you know,
I was fourth of four.
You got four siblings that they were all pretty much raised together, and all the money that would have bought them toys and collectibles would have had to been split four ways. Mm-hmm. You know, so if my brother got one toy. That was probably the one toy, you know, he might have got two toys a year, and my other sisters got two toys a year, you know. And so instead of, you look at it from my perspective, they were getting, you know, 4, 6, 8, 10 toys a year between the four of them. And then I would get 10 toys a year for just me. That did create a little bit of a rift between.
Yeah, I was pretty much the same way because my two sisters and a brother, my oldest sister was born in 85, my second was 86, and my brother was 87. So obviously by the time I came along, the youngest was already like 11. So it was pretty much the same way to where they pretty much had them three. Well, actually it was because my dad had the two of them, and my mom had one, so obviously they were kind of split in 95. Everybody came together. Not only did they have the three kids then, but they also had two stepkids from my mom's previous marriage. So it was pretty much the five. So it was pretty much like 15 toys between the five of them, and now it's 15 to, like, drones. It's like, had a split that pile for them. Now it's that pile's all for me, and like you said, it creates a rift and can turn ugly.
For many years, you know, there was actually some animosity. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that my siblings hated me and everything. They knew that they couldn't help, that I couldn't help, that I was born when I was and I was raised when I was. I think they more or less were jealous in a way of the fact that that I got more than they ever would have dreamed of when they were kids.
That was pretty much mine too. So I completely understand
And to be honest, whenever they would come over for Christmas and spend Christmas with us, you know, my mom, dad and I, you know, and I would get several toys for Christmas. I guess I was young enough at the time. I really didn't. I saw it, but I didn't really understand. But with every toy I'd open, they'd all be looking at each other like, "Must be nice," you know. Although they really never said anything until much later. You know, my brother's like, "You know, you had it really good. You really had it good as a kid." And I fully understand that, and I realize that, and I'm very thankful for that. But I didn't, you know, it's not like I asked for it. You know, it's not like I asked to be born when I was, you know, I was an oops, quite frankly. You know, my mom told me I was not planned. I just came along. You know, they were done after four kids.
And they said that about my dad because my grandma had everything done there, like tubed off to where they would not have any more kids. And after that, they pretty much found out that they were having my dad. So don't feel bad.
It was, she said I was a happy accident. You know, it's like, I happened, you know, they weren't going to, you know, they don't believe in, you know, and anything like that. So, you know, they went with it, and you know, that's just the way the ball rolls. Mm-hmm. So let's talk more about you guys, getting into the fandom. What is your, I want to go around the room, and I'm going to start with Sergio. What is your opinion when you found out about Transformers prior to you joining, basically like Generation One and the fans therein? What was your first opinion, and now, and do you still hold that opinion about Generation Toys and the fans from that era, like myself?
Like G1?
Yeah. G1 and G2. I guess I kind of lumped those in together.
I don't really remember my initial thoughts about them. But, like, today, I still find a lot of them to be very close-minded. I know, especially because I admin the Masterpiece group. Mm-hmm. And so I see a lot of comments, angry comments, whenever, like, a new Beast Wars thing comes out, like a new Beast Wars Masterpiece is shown. And, like, you know, there's over 30 years of Transformers history. There's more than G1 to make. There's a lot more to Transformers than there is G1. I understand that G1, like, the people that grew up with G1 is probably the majority of the fans. And most people want to see the G1 Masterpiece line continue, but I enjoy the variety. I think that's what keeps the line interesting. The fact that I can have Masterpiece, Beast Wars, G1, and movie stuff in my collection keeps it interesting. Uh-huh. Because I feel like I'd be bored of collecting the same aesthetic for so long.
Pretty much.
That's kind of why I'm leaning away from classics, because I'm not really... I don't find myself enjoying them anymore. And I understand that they're not primarily made for people like us. You know, they're made for kids. Mm-hmm. And so I don't fault them for that. But yeah. I understand
now, by classics, do you mean like mainline, like,
yeah, like
generation stuff? Yeah.
Chug, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, there's no arguing that we're not in the picture at all. Because, I mean, we're getting characters that kids have no idea who they are. But... The main
focus, Slash and Road Trip.
The main focus is and will always be children. And I understand that from their business perspective. And so I don't fault them for that. And I understand that that product is not for me. However, you don't see me going on forums ranting about why my $10 toy doesn't have, you know, die-cast and isn't the size of my Masterpiece toys.
It's like this thing, Cyber Battalion Optimus Prime. It, you know, from a collector's standpoint, this thing's a huge piece of shit. You know, it has little to no articulation. But you know what? I find it to be a good little fiddle bot, desk bot. You know.
Yeah.
Is it worth $17? Not really, but hey, I can see a child having a lot of fun with this thing.
And those are the type of toys that are going to keep Transformers alive.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Hence Evergreen.
Especially,
obviously, like, the studio series leans more towards, like, the collectors, while the Cyber Battalion and, like, the Evergreen stuff, or whatever that line's called, they're more the kids, and Chug is pretty much more in between, to where some kids will kind of get introduced to characters to where they don't really know the name of. I guess I can't say that's really why they introduced the comics. That didn't really
well
very much.
As we said many times here on the podcast, collectors are a very fickle, very opinionated group of people. You're never going to please any large group of people at any time. There's always going to be people bitching and moaning or complaining about something.
That goes for any hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Even the non-toy hobbies that I'm in,
Trust me, like, even in some of these bowling forums, you would not believe the amount of bitching I've seen. Like, take example, one ball I noticed that was released, there was so much hype behind it, then all of a sudden, as soon as it released, everybody just lambasted the thing like no tomorrow. So it does not only work in just one specific fandom, it can work in almost anything out there.
Well, I know Sergio, you and Jack, you probably, I know you're big wrestling fans like I am. You see it in the wrestling all the time. There's people that absolutely hate on Roman Reigns, and then there's people who's like, I don't understand why people hate him so much. You know,
yep.
It's like, I see it argued that people don't like Roman Reigns because other people don't like Roman Reigns and they want a bandwagon. Me personally, I don't like Roman Reigns because he's a freaking meathead on the mic. Mm-hmm. And he uses like three moves in his matches, and he tries to be something that he's not, and that's not what you do in wrestling. You have to take your own persona and amplify it to be successful, to be really successful. You know, even the Undertaker, you know, we all know he's not really an Undertaker and he's not really dead, but he would take he would actually take.
I like to believe.
Yeah, he would actually take elements of his own persona and amplify it within that character to give it life. And there for a short time, you know, he loves motorbikes, and we had the Biker Taker, you know, so
that weirdness.
Yeah. But you know, it worked. It worked at the time. And you know, the same thing in Transformers, you know, you got people that just don't get why people love certain things or, you know, follow certain things. I, as a G1 person, I get hated on from time to time in certain forums. And I've actually left groups because I just got tired of reading the G1 hate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially when masterpieces were coming out at a much faster rate. All of them were G1. With it, and then Optimus Primal comes along. Or no, when Optimus Primal was Cheetor, I think. Wasn't he first?
Yeah, Cheetor was first.
Whenever he was announced, oh my God, the butt hurt. He's not a G1 character, you know, and people's all like, oh, you G1ers, you're finally getting, different things other than G1. People are just going to hate no matter what. Haters going to hate. And I've got to the point now where, you know, I'm not ashamed of being a G1 fan. That's what I grew up as. That's what I resonate most with. I don't hate Beast Wars. It's not my favorite era. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the recently revealed masterpiece Beast Wars Megatron, I don't collect Beast Wars anymore, but I want that toy. That thing looks flipping awesome.
I'm the same. Like I said, I came around the beginning of the Unicron trilogy, and that was my main focus for a while. Then I was like, I kind of want to branch out and do other things, and now I'm just, my main thing is Chug, to where I just want to pretty much get the best representations of G1 characters in a more modern perspective, and that's what Chug is. And I'm actually, Chug is my biggest thing right now. And obviously, I'm not a huge G1 guy. That thing is the biggest part of my collection. And obviously, there's the movie and all that. And yeah. Because, like I said, Unicron Trilogy is about the time I came in. Love all three shows. And yet, that part of the collection is the smallest part.
Yeah. So, you know, in the interest of time, I want to ask you, Jack, real quick, what the same thing that I asked Sergio, as a younger fan coming into the fandom, when did you find out about Generation 1, the toys? What did you think about them, and what did you think about the fans then versus how you feel now? Is it any different?
Well, I think the first time I really noticed G1, because I know there was, I've seen episodes multiple times before 2005, because it was like 2005 I really got in more into the G1 continuity and all that history. And it was around 2005 I also had the 20th anniversary of the movie, and that's when it really blew up. But obviously I knew about, like, seen some of the episodes, didn't really know there was much fans for it, so that didn't really care for me by the time I got started. So now it's just, I feel like there's an oversaturation of G1 fans. Like Sergio said, with everybody getting pissy left and right, no matter what, it's kind of getting a little ridiculous to where it even kind of drove me away from some of it, too. Because, I mean, just the other day, I had to leave a couple of groups because it was just getting ridiculous with the amount of hate these G1ers spew. So it's, yeah, it's ultimately the exact same thing as Sergio. But, yeah.
Well, it's a very close-minded, and let's be fair here, it's not exclusive to G1 fans. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen Beast Wars fans be very close-minded. You know, if it's not a Beast character, I hate it. You know, why can't Transformers go back to Beast
characters? I mean, yeah, I've seen a couple like that, but I mainly notice it with the G1.
Yeah, I think G1 fans are probably more vocal, and I think a lot of G1 fans... you know, I'm not one of them that feels this way, but I think a lot of G1 fans feel that they're the most important in the fandom because we're the ones that grew up with it when it started. We were there from the beginning, so all this other stuff is just not Transformers to them.
It's like a moot point.
Yeah, well, no, it's more, I guess,
trying to find a good word for it.
Yeah, I'm at a loss for words. But it's more of a,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it mentality.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it came too late in the game to be considered Transformers. So they don't like it. They don't like change. But as we all know, that's what Transformers is all about. In more ways than one, change.
You know? Adapt to evolve.
Well, you know that. Change modes.
Yeah.
So, Christian, same questions to you. How you told us a little bit earlier, but go a little bit more in depth. How did you become aware of G1 and the toys? What did you think about them and the fans, and versus how you feel about them now?
So the question is, how I became aware of G1 toys, not G1 in general?
G1 in general, and then the toys.
Well, the G1 in general thing is my Blockbuster days. And then I found out about the toys via early internet stuff. I never found Alt Toys Transformers, but I found, I guess probably back then a bit Angel Fire or other weird image hosting places, so you could see pictures of people's collections.
GeoCities.
Pictures of people's, yeah, that's what it was.
Or the mosaic pictures.
Yeah.
You just see collection pictures. He's not on the show, and I'd probably never tell him this in person, but a big part of me learning about G1 toys was Rick's first book. I didn't know Rick was J. Alvarez until much, 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 much later. But, I've devoured that book in a day. I found it at my local Borders bookstore. Tells you how long ago that was. And my parents were like, how did you get through that so quickly? I was always a good reader. And I was just like, I just want to know more about it. So I guess because there were publications, I knew there were fans. But my first real fan experience came after I registered for BotCon 05. Mm. And became part of the collector's club when I came home from BotCon 05 and started talking on the club boards. And that was a really good place, at BotCon and then later at the club boards. They were very accepting of having someone like me, someone that young. They're very supportive, wanted to know where I came from, wanted to know my ideas, wanted to talk to me. And I think I would feel very differently if I'd started on a place like TFW or Sabertron back then. It just didn't seem maybe as welcoming. They had good pictures, good hosted collections. I loved looking at them, but I never felt like I wanted to participate, and I still feel that way. Mm-hmm. It's very toxic in places like that. So I kind of stick to my former Transformers Club buddies, and we talk about all generations, where we like everybody, and we hang out together.
Except Kiss players. We never talk about Kiss players.
We talked about Kiss players last night. You know, as bad as that was, we got cool auto troopers mm-hmm. from them.
Yeah.
There's always something you can pull out of a generation.
That's all I talk about.
What, Kiss players?
Kiss players is all I talk about with Christian.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, he calls me every day. We talk about Kiss players. But I think, God damn it. I think my mindset of trying to go and accept everyone comes from me bridging gaps like I did. Because, like I said, you know, I had Beast Wars every day after school. I had G1 every weekend. And then I started collecting toys for real in the Unicron trilogy. So you just kind of cross all these realms, and you learn to like things from all of them. And it jars me when people don't like things from, or not, they can't find anything to like from a generation. It weirds mm-hmm. me out.
And I can totally understand, you know, not being into a particular line due to an aesthetic. It's kind of like we talked about last night when we recorded the show about Transformers Animated. Mm-hmm. You know, I liked the show. The toys were fine. The toys were good. They represented the cartoon well. But aesthetically, I don't like how they look on my shelf.
Yeah.
You know, I find that a perfectly valid reason. You know.
Yeah, but at no point did you just say, I hate Animated. It's not Transformers. I can't believe they would have made that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. It's like the Rescue Bots thing I was talking about earlier. Never anything I was really into. I never even considered collecting Rescue Bots. But I'm, like I said, I'm glad that it exists because it serves a purpose. There are some that's in it. You know, RID 2.0, I think it serves a great purpose as a entry-level collector's grade toy. If you could call it that. It's, to me, it's more collectible and more intricate, I guess, than Rescue Bots. And it's a good way to work your way up into more complex toys like the Generations and even Masterpiece.
Yep. Well, let's hope that in, you know, 15 years we can talk to the next group of young collectors who came up through now. Talk about how their experiences are different from absolutely. Yours and different from ours. And
absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things. As an older fan and older collector, it joys me to see guys your age be as passionate about this hobby and everything. And I understand, you know, from time to time, you know, interests wane, but you always come back to it because it's something that you truly admit that you enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, you said it before. You don't have to have a large collection or a collection at all to enjoy Transformers.
Absolutely. Everyone can enjoy it in their own way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could pretty much be idle as a collector and then come back to it, you know, a year, 2 years down the road and resume and you're fine. But you still come back to it. You know, you still find yourself, you know, even whenever I don't have the money to buy toys, I'll come in to this collection room and I'll sit down and I'll look at my figures. And while I may not get some of them down and transform them, I'll sit there and look at them and go, wow, his design, the way they pulled that off is so impressive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just visually impressive. And then and then sometimes I might be compelled to get it down and mess with, you know, and like, this thing is fun to play with. You know, like I recently got down the KFC Kingzilla, the Snapdragon that I was showing Christian last night. To me, that's a fun toy to play with. I love how they pulled it off. It executes well. It looks good. It just does it for me. You know, so as a fan, it makes me look at my hobby, and even though we're of a totally different generation, you guys come along after me, but yet we have this one thing in common that Oh, this sounds so terrible. This must be bad. What are you guys?
Uh-oh.
Are you sharing dick pics again?
Having a GIF war in the chat.
We are having a GIF war in the chat.
Where is this? I want to see this.
Jordan, I posted your old GoBots in there, too. You should see which one it was.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's all fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Oh, really?
Everything's fine. We just need to wrap. That's all.
Oh, Lord. What the hell? The kid doing the... Yeah. I'm
you
just...
know you had to do it to him, Serge.
Lord. Oh, God. All right, guys. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of TFYLP. I know I have. You know, it's always good to go back and kind of look at ourselves as collectors and see where we come from, see where we're going, how we got here. It's always fun to do that. We'd love to hear your stories, so you can share them on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me directly if you have any comments or questions regarding the show or Transformers in general. If you want to know more about Transformers, you know, you can send a question and we can pose it as a or answer it as a group right here on the show. And as always, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TFYLP. I think that'll wrap us up this week. Hope to see you live as availability allows. You know, I've got some work issues coming up here, so I'm going to be doing a whole lot of overtime. So that's going to be pretty much the reason why a lot of these pre-records. So just bear with us.
Please. Pretty please.
Pretty please. All right. On top. You guys have any closing comments or thoughts?
We love you. See you soon.
What's your favorite GIF?
Thumbs up, kid.
Thumbs up, kid. Mine's that little girl just looking at the screen, going, just looking back and her eyes are darting back and forth. Like, what?
Mine is the Mike Tyson losing himself, clapping and laughing.
And then there's always the sad Jordan, the crying Jordan. those never get old.
Especially on a team that just chokes like the Red Sox the other day.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.